your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Drive, good morning with Jamie Litt and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app. For that, it's presented by Happy State Bank. Visual Edge IT hotline open 2-806-771-0973. We'll have High School Fan Zone on the air for you tonight. Coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey will be on from 6 to 7. And then it's Astros baseball. They'll take on the Toronto Blue Jays at 7 o'clock tonight is when we'll pick that coverage up. The Astros stinging a little bit, Jamie. They lost not once, not twice, not thrice, but four times to the New York Yankees.
Not the start you're looking for.
No, it's not. It sure is the start the Yankees are looking for, though. I mean, they went yesterday 4-3 over the Astros, so they're off to a fantastic start, is what I would say. Fantastic. Rangers, I mean, they acquit themselves. I mean, they lost yesterday, as Jeff said, in the Sports Center. But they win 2 of 3 from the Chicago Cubs.
It's a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start. They got their rings. So they got those, I guess, Saturday. They got a little bling for them. The ones that are left got their rings. And the top comes off kind of like a magic kind of, you know, magic kind of ring kind of thing. So if they want to change it out, they can, or wear it a little bit different, they can. They've got all these different sapphires and rubies and stones and diamonds. They have 52 diamonds.
Nice.
That represent their 52-year history. They have 11 stones that represent the number of road wins in the postseason. They have 23 rubies that represent the year 2023 of when they won the World Series. And then 103 blue sapphires that represent the 103 wins in the regular and the postseason. So it's got it's a nice, cool-looking ring. So
sweet.
I don't know if you can wear it because I don't know how big it is. You know, sometimes those guys, they almost need to make one that's for display and one that's for wear. You know, it's like, okay, here's the one that you just kind of display at your home or your office or your trophy room or whatever, and then here's one that's like a high school ring, college ring that you can just wear. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you don't have to worry about it being so big on your hand that you can't handle it. So we'll see. So there was a question here on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. So Jamie, do you think they've already given up on the season? If so, does this fall back on Coach Tadlock? Well, they're always going to say that the head coach is always going to say, hey, it starts with me. But you don't think they've given up on the season.
No, I don't think that at all. I question the team's fight. It just looks like at times, you know, they get behind in a game and they're kind of, you know, there's just not as much fight as you would like to see. I feel like that's, you know, sometimes game to game and that thing changes and that's frustrating. I think just right now it's a team without a whole lot of confidence, and they just got to, you know, I think they're talented enough to do so, to get on some sort of roll, but, you know, you're kind of waiting around for that to happen. The pitching has come around nicely, and they're definitely throwing well enough for you to get on a nice roll and start winning a bunch of series, but the offense has not been good enough, especially away from home.
Yeah.
And so you got to get the offense going, and you got to get, like, just feeling like, hey, this is fun again. It just looks like a team right now that's going through the motions, that's not enjoying themselves, and you know, that's playing really tight and nervous and all the above. And I think that it's at times hard to watch just because you know how talented it appears that this lineup could be, but they're just not putting it together.
Is that some youth that's just their experience, or is that too easy to say?
I don't think it's youth. I think it's, you know, just collectively as a group being a little bit, you know, lack of confidence because you're not playing well. I would say it's a little bit of veteran leadership or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of that to this team. And it just feels like a group that's, you know, again, not having fun, not having fun for whatever reason.
Yeah. And that's hard to tell somebody to have fun, but
it just looks like they're really tight.
Yeah. Was Saturday more of relief than it was excitement, do you think, in terms of not getting swept?
Probably a little bit of both.
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll have Tech and Stanford tonight, 6 o'clock, 6:30, play-by-play here on Double T 97.3. Well, when I saw this news, I thought of you because you not that you predicted this, but you – weren't sure that this was time to make the declaration. Maybe that's not the right word, but because when he said he was coming back, I thought, okay, he's coming back. And you're like, well, I wouldn't be so sure about that. And turns out that Pop Isaacs is going to go in the transfer portal. The question I have is, was it his decision? Was it Tech's decision?
I mean,
that's
everybody's question.
Was it a mutual decision? And I guess the other question of that is why? But maybe it's more obvious internally than it is externally.
Which one are you asking why about?
Well, if it wasn't his decision and it became a mutual decision, why would you say to a guy that was one of your leading scorers or your leading scorer, although it was kind of an up and down there at the end, why would you want him to leave? And maybe it's stuff that, whether it was on the court, off the court, you know, not playing the type of ball that you want to play, maybe that was it more than anything else.
Bingo, and that's what I said from the get-go.
You did.
I said he doesn't appear to play in the style that I think Coach Grant McCaslin wants.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit the style. And that's why when you know, we talked on the show about, well, he said he's coming back in the locker room. The first thing I said was, what else is he going to say right then?
Mm-hmm.
What else is he going to say?
Right. No, okay, you were.
So if it was his choice.
Yeah.
If it was his choice to leave, he has to say that right then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He has to. But the second part of that is, I said, I questioned whether it would be his decision because I don't think he fits the style of play that your head coach wants. I have thought that all season long. And, I mean, I just think that I'm not saying he's a terrible player. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. I love his guts and his fight and his, you know what, no fear, always aggression. I love a lot of that. But I just don't think he plays in the style that you want to play. Don't love his shot selection. And as far as, you know, he's an undersized shooting guard who shoots less than 30% from 3-point range. I'm sorry, that's not like got to have one of those on my team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Yeah. No. You've been absolutely right about this.
Yeah. And so there's a lot I like about his game. Again, his tenacity and his, you know, his just no fear attitude. I love. And when he's on, man, he's terrific, but unfortunately it's just not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd like a more I think Coach McCaslin would like, first off, a better defender, you know, that has more length. And I think he would like a guy that's more fits in the style of his offense. And so that's why I just didn't feel like it was a match made in heaven here. After seeing this season, after seeing Coach McCaslin's style, I didn't think they were a great fit together.
Yeah. Somebody says this. It sounds like a mutual decision. Look at the guards Tech is going after now. Okay. Yes, Tech will be losing 16 points a game, but that's a lot of shots that they get back with better shooting percentage. Plus, his distractions and lack of leadership will not be missed. Yeah. It's interesting. And you know, I think the initial reaction by people was he's going after more money. But I think upon further review, it's like, I think he had some help leaving.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Drive time for this day in sports history. Today is April the 1st, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire with this day in sports history.
Little tease for later. Something that affects us every single day.
Okay.
Let you figure out what that is when we get there. 1930, American golfer Bobby Jones starts his Grand Slam season by winning the Southeastern Open by 13 strokes over Horton Smith at the Forest Hills Golf Course in Atlanta, Georgia.
Horton.
Horton, here's a who?
Yeah. Well, last time you heard of somebody named Horton. Not their last name, their first name.
Yeah.
Probably going back to what Chuck just said, when Horton heard her, when Horton heard her who. Yeah. That would probably be the last Horton I heard of.
Or the only Horton.
That's also probably true as well.
We just heard him another one.
Yeah.
So there's two.
Yeah.
1954, Detroit Red Wings right wing Gordie Howe scores two goals and an assist, set a Stanley Cup playoff record for fastest goal from the start of the game at 9 seconds in a 4-3-2 overtime win over Toronto in Game 5 of the semifinals.
Interesting already in the Stanley Cup with that era, the playoffs.
1972, Major League Baseball players staged their first ever collective strike. Play would resume on April 13th when owners and players would agree to a $500,000 increase in pension fund payments.
I remember I was like 11 years old. I remember that and just trying to understand what was going on. And I think anytime there's still a strike, we still try to understand what's going on. But at the end of the day, it's really all about the money.
All you have to know about the Major League Baseball strikes are the players will give absolutely nothing back that they have clawed and bled and begged for to get from the owners, and the owners don't want to give anything more than they already have.
But this and the Curt Flood stuff is really where it all started.
Oh, the players union and Major League Baseball owners have hated each other since like 1836. So this is nothing new. 1981. Edmonton center Wayne Gretzky has an assist, his 103rd of the season, in an Oilers 4-4 tie with the Colorado Rockies to break Bobby Orr's 10-year mark for most assists in a single NHL season. Know what you might be thinking? The Colorado Rockies? Aren't they the Avalanche?
Yeah, that was the team that moved from Kansas City to Denver.
Yeah, the Rockies then would move after the 82 season to New Jersey to become the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 2000, Corey Sellers goes 2-for-3, walks twice, hits a grand slam, and drives in 7 runs as Texas Tech routes Kansas State 19-7.
What year?
2000.
Okay.
In 2010, Scott Lejeune goes 4-for-4, and Chad Bettis has 3 scoreless relief innings as Texas Tech upsets number 20 Kansas State 8-5.
Speaking of Colorado Rockies, Chad Bettis.
Mm-hmm. It is the first of the month, so it is National Florida Tomato, BLT Sandwich, Soft Pretzel, Soy Foods, Grilled Cheese, and Garlic Month.
Hmm.
Not the best month for food.
I mean, the BLT sounds the most appealing to me.
Oh, grilled cheese.
Give me the grilled cheese.
I knew you guys were going to say that.
Put some bacon in there.
Soft pretzels are solid, too.
Yeah. Put some bacon in that grilled cheese?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Use garlic butter for your butter to make the grilled cheese sandwich.
That's, on the outside?
Mm-hmm. That's a solid upgrade as well.
I think my life would be fine without garlic.
No, we can't do that. No.
Yeah.
No. Bad plan.
If that didn't exist, I'd be all right.
Happy National Sourdough Bread Day.
Perfect for your grilled cheese sandwich.
That's see?
Mm-hmm. With bacon.
Happy birthday to Randy Orton, who's 45, and Mark Jackson is 59. And on this day in 1970, President Richard Nixon signs legislation officially banning cigarette ads on television and radio.
Mm.
Nixon enjoyed the occasional cigar, but supported the legislation at the increasing insistence of public health advisories. Alarming health studies emerged as early as 1939 that linked cigarette smoking to higher incidence of cancer and heart disease. And by the end of the 50s, all states had prohibited the sale of cigarettes to minors. The last televised cigarette ad ran at 11:50 p.m. during the Johnny Carson show on January 1st, 1971.
1971. Okay, I was thinking it was October of that year, but it was the all the way to 1971.
And that is this day in sports history.
Wow. Hey, the Marlboro Man and all that kind of stuff. Remember that because you weren't. I think you were. If you were, you weren't alive in 1970, were you?
I was not.
Yeah,
I was not.
I mean, I can remember the smoking commercials, and then that's what led to all the smokeless tobacco advertising with Skoll and just a pinch, Walt Garrison, just a pinch between your cheek and gum. And those haven't aired in quite some time as well.
I just remember seeing printed ads as a kid, in Sports Illustrated or something like that. I don't know if it was an old Sports Illustrated I was looking at or what, but I remember seeing them there.
Well, the printed ads, they stayed in those cases, and those aren't regulated by the government, the FCC. Tricky Dick, not wanting the cigarette ads. He was, I don't know what precipitated all that. I guess just the outlandish, probably the people, campaigning against it, against the ads. And certainly the cigarette guys wanted to be able to continue to advertise.
So there's still printed ads today?
Yeah, I think you can still have printed cigarette ads, but you just don't see them very much. If they wanted to buy them in Sports Illustrated, which doesn't publish anymore, it's only online. But if you wanted to, purchase an ad, if you're a cigarette company and you wanted to have an ad and
tell you the last time I saw one.
Well, I know. I'm right there with you. Washed up guy points out this. Horton Smith won the very first Masters. In fact, Horton Smith won the first Masters and the third Masters played.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that comes up this week there in Georgia. So look for that later on in the week.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I will have baseball for you on the air tonight. You get the Astros and the Blue Jays after the high school fan zone. And you get Texas Tech baseball here tonight. 6 o'clock, the warm-up show, and 6:30 play-by-play as they take on Stanford. So you win the ball game on Saturday, salvage a little bit of the weekend. I thought, we've talked about the pitching's been pretty good, especially the series against UCF. All the games, one-runner games. Still trying to figure out how to wake the bats up. Although, during the ball game on Saturday, I think you said to Jeff, let's wake the bats up. Need to wake the bats up. And then right away you get two runs in the fourth. So maybe that's the trick. You just need to rattle the bats a little bit more.
Was that the inning when they scored the two runs?
Yeah, they scored the two runs in the fourth. And
I think I remember saying it. I don't remember when I said it, though.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And then you promptly get
two homers.
Two homers, yeah.
And three batters.
Yeah. You can get two one-run home runs, including the one over the palm trees, which I haven't seen what that looked like, but I've seen palm trees before, and they're usually not very short. So the way that it, the crack of the bat, boom, it's gone.
Ping.
Ping. Ping.
Ping. But it gets to the point of where you are right now as an offense. And you gave up 9 runs this weekend or this series, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 9. Yeah, you come home losers of 2 of 3. You scored only 8, and 5 of the 8 come runs that you scored come via home runs on 4 different homers. You go 2 for 21 with runners in scoring position. That's less than 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You got to be able to score runs more ways than that.
Yeah.
I just don't think this team, I mean, I think back to the, and I apologize for being the old guy. I'm not going back in my day. Mm-hmm. I'm just going, go back 4 or 5 years ago, whatever. And just look at the hitters throughout the course of the last 10 or 12 years that were, didn't have to be superstar hitters, but they were guys that would foul off a ton of pitches and battle and see a bunch of pitches and take walks and have high on-base percentages. And I just feel like this year's team puts the ball in play on pitch one or two more than any team that I can remember in recent history. And you don't work a lot of deep counts. You don't get a lot of free passes to create havoc on the base paths where, okay, get a couple guys on base and now all of a sudden a single drives in a run or whatever. We haven't seen a lot of that. And I like guys being aggressive, and sometimes you got to change things up. So if you think the first pitch in the at-bat is what you're going to see the best pitch to hit, you think they're trying to get ahead with a fastball, okay. I mean, we see that sometimes, and that's great, but it just feels like there's too much of it. We don't see deep counts enough. I've thought that UCF at times, and again, that's a really veteran ball club. I mean, a bunch of fifth-year guys and fourth-year guys. But we've seen it from other teams this year, too, that, you know, and whoever's out there on the mound, Hewer or Robinson or whatever, they get ahead 0-2, and the next thing it's, you know, it's 2-2 or it's 3-2. They may ultimately get an out, but they make them work, and that raises that, you know, sends that pitch count higher. And I don't know. I mean, the days of the Nestlonis and the Goots and the Brian Kleins and just battling and Gabe Holtz and seeing a lot of pitches and obviously Josh and, I mean, seeing a lot of pitches and, you know, two-out magic with scoring runs with two outs in an inning, it right now this offense just is not doing that for whatever reason. There's not enough guys that are just – you know, hey, I'm down 1-2 in the count, but I'm going to make this guy throw 4 or 5 more pitches till I see one that I can really move on and do something with. There's just not enough of that right now. And I do feel it's a little bit contagious, whatever. I do feel like guys are pressing. And I just go back to, and I've said this a bunch of times this year, and I think it's somewhat cheesy, but it just looks like they're not having fun. I mean, they just look like they're a tight bunch, and I don't know how to change that.
That was going to be my question, is what do you do?
That's, nobody's paying me to change it.
Sure.
Okay, so even if I did know, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be the guy to fix it.
Go play some basketball or go over to the football stadium and see if they can kick a football and hit the double T scoreboard or something. Or,
you know, at times
around the rosy.
At times I wonder, is it a team that like gets along really well because they don't look like they're having fun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. But then, you know, a guy will hit a home run or somebody will make a play and they come in and then everybody's congratulating him and everybody's excited. And so I kind of throw that out the window that there's internal issues. I think every team has some internal issues.
Sure.
I don't know. They just don't look like they're having fun. They look tight. And I really don't know why. Maybe that's just that they care and they're pressing. That may be the thing, but it just offensively, there just doesn't look like, all right, here we go, guys. Let's go. Let's put together a crooked number here. We're about to, you know, put 5 on the board. It just doesn't ever feel that way. It's the only way you can score is if one guy gets one good swing on a ball and hits it out of the park.
Do you think that there was a lot of expectation on them, that they feel that pressure?
Maybe that's where the pressure comes from. I don't know, but you know what? What do we say in life? That pressure is good, right?
Yeah.
Because that means there are expectations of you, and then you got to be able to handle that.
To speak to what you're talking about, the not going deep in counts and things like that, I just did a quick look, and I don't know how this compares to the whole season, but I'll just throw this out at you. You struck out 30 times this weekend.
And it didn't feel like that was a crazy number.
But, I mean, 11 times yesterday, 8 times on Friday, and then 11 times on Thursday.
Yeah, I don't think the strikeout was a huge, huge problem. I mean, those are 10 a game is not great, but don't get me wrong. But, you know, what I look at more than that, more than the strikeouts, Chuck, is like the number of bullpen arms they have to use. Okay, how many guys did they use this weekend? I mean, not many. Now, their bullpen, their starters would come in. Now, the very first night, I think they used three relievers. But, I mean, the second day, it was one guy that dominated you after their starter came out, and then they used two guys on Sunday, you know, and one guy that you had already seen back on Friday who came in to finish things out in the ninth. But you get just a couple outs. You're not battering them around, so they've got to go to different guys. You're not running a pitch count up, so their starter gets out earlier. I mean, it's just like that part of, you know, you look and then you can see it's a talented bunch, and you can see what they can do, but just collectively they don't. I feel like they're not putting a lot of pressure on opposing pitching.
Well, and the other thing, I guess, what I was thinking about with regard to the strikeouts is, you know, UCF this. Like yesterday, they struck out six times on Saturday. I should say Saturday. Five times on Friday and eight times on Thursday. But you're not putting the ball in play as much, you know, like whether it's just, you know, either A, moving runners or sacrificing or things like that. Just, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. But
well, it's better to put the ball in play than strike out. There's no question there. But, I mean, it's... Again, I'm just saying, I mean, we've seen times before where the Red Raiders were dominated on a Friday night and struck out 16 times in one game or something like that. It just feel like you're, I mean, for whatever, you're not getting enough hits, period.
I guess, you know, it's
and you're not taking as many walks as we're used to seeing this this team take.
I guess I'm the casual observer here, but just coming out of the weekend, I just felt encouraged by how well this team pitched, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and just feeling like, well, the bats come around.
Well, and that's how I felt after Baylor. As disappointed as I was that you had lost the series, I was encouraged then because, hey, what did I say to you guys? You'd rather your offense be bad than your pitching because and the pitching's been solid. I'm just now at the point where, like, okay, when is the offense going to get going? Is it going to get going?
Wake up the bats.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, I got a good question for you guys today. And the reason it's good. It's because there are no wrong answers.
It's the best kind of question.
Well, I will say Arkansas is the wrong answer. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. It is a wrong answer. Really, any of the 50 states.
Any of the 50. Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're going to Red Raider football today. And there, you can answer, your answer can be for a variety of different reasons than anybody else. Okay. May just be about winning, may just be about who you're interested in. It may be because you want to see a guy bounce back. My question to you today is, what Red Raider football player are you really rooting hard for in 2024?
Really rooting hard for in 2024? Man, the first name that comes to my mind is Baron Morton. I want him to have a great year. I want him to be healthy. I want him to be healthy going in. I don't think he's healthy right now, and I hope his shoulder gets fully rehabbed and he's rested and ready. Just my casual observation of practice the other day, and Jamie, I did watch. Okay, I did look. It just looked like the zip on his ball wasn't the same as the other guys.
And I think you are noticing that because Baron Morton said,
"Maybe so, maybe so." But I'm not the only one that has that opinion, though.
You don't have to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. Baron Morton said he's not healthy yet.
Yeah.
There's no, like,
I know, but I mean,
you're not breaking news.
I know, but it's like it's more noticeable than I thought it was going to be. How about that?
Okay.
I mean, I want him to have a great year, because we all know it starts with the quarterback, and if the quarterback has a great year, then boom. And my second answer was going to be Mason Tharp.
I think Baron Morton is a very smart answer because of what you just said there. We didn't have to get into the zip thing, but, you know, the quarterback plays
well.
You told
me there were no wrong answers.
Well, you didn't give a wrong answer. I think you gave the most right answer.
Okay.
Because if the quarterback plays well, your team usually, or at least your offense, plays mm-hmm. well. Maybe not the team if you have a terrible defense, but yeah, I think that's the quote unquote right answer. But if you can answer for different reasons.
I've got two for two completely different reasons. and that probably makes this a wrong answer, because there are two. I know that Chuck said everything, you know, if the quarterback plays well, everybody's going to play well. I got a better answer than that. If Taj Brooks plays well, this is going to be a good year. He's the one I'm rooting the hardest for. He's the one that, you know, he is the straw that stirs the drink and pours the drink into a nice cocktail glass and ready to go over fresh ice. That's who Taj Brooks, wow. The importance of Taj Brooks
ice.
To this team.
Wow.
So if you get away from that, you're going to be getting in trouble from what we have seen. The other guy that I really want to do well, not because I think that he can't or that he needs any motivation from me, but just if he struggles just a little, and we're talking freshman struggles just a little, Micah Hudson, that with all the hype that he's coming in with, that it's going to be, you know, he's the, you know, five-star receiver and everything else. Like, guys, freshman, everybody take a breath. If his numbers are half of what Crabtree had his technical sophomore year, he would have led the team in receiving last year. So everybody just take a breath, take a beat, and let the kid grow up and be a good receiver for you this year so he can be great later. I just so want him to succeed so that we avoid the, oh, typical Tech gets a five-star receiver and can't throw him the football. I don't think that's going to happen, but let's pull back a little.
Actually, I mean, typical Tech has not gotten a lot of five-star receivers.
Well, no, that you get something great and then not use it. It's where I want to avoid that as much as possible.
Okay, so since you guys answered with two, I'll answer with two, too. Good, makes it easy for me. Okay, so for just the pure purposes of winning football games,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Joseph Adetare. He's kind of, you could pick any defensive end / rush end / outside linebacker that's going to get to the quarterback. If Adetare has a big season getting to the quarterback, whoever it is, it doesn't even have to be him. Somebody has a big season getting to the quarterback, that's going to help you defensively. I think we're desperately needing a guy like that. So Joseph Adetare would be one answer for me. And the other one, I think I've kind of touched on this with you guys before, but I just like the story, and it's Cameron Valdez, a guy that, you know, at one point went into the portal the end of last year, decided to say, hey, I still want to play in the bowl game, and played in the bowl game. And, you know, whether it was the coaching staff saying, hey, you know, we think highly of you, we hate that you're leaving, whatever, but he decides to pull his name out of the portal and to stay a Red Raider. And, you know, he knows that Taj Brooks is coming back and he's going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the coaching staff talked to him about, hey, different ways that we can get you the football, different ways that you can help us, all the above. I love that he stayed loyal to Tech. And for that, I would love for him to have a big season and to have it be, you know, have it worth his while that he came back to play for the Red Raiders instead of bailing and heading somewhere else, like, you know, college athletes today, you know, it seems like, hey, if I'm not starting, I'm moving on.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's a guy I'm really rooting for. Okay.
7:39. Do you have someone other than that you would like to root for, you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that, or the for the mobile app for the Yates Flooring Center chat line. It's presented by Happy State Bank. Visual Edge IT hotline if you want to weigh in as well. We'll have a high school fan zone tonight at 6 on 100.7 The Score, then the Astros and the Blue Jays. Astros lost their first four. We'll have Red Raider baseball tonight at 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30. Balls and Strikes, they take on Stanford today, and then tomorrow afternoon, a matinee.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I've good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today on this first day of April. Look forward to hearing from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that, of the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open, too, at 806-771-0973. No April fooling here today. You're not an April Fool's guy, are you?
No, not really.
Yeah. Do you? But you would enjoy, like, on the sitting on the sideline of observing a great April Fool joke, probably, wouldn't you?
Maybe so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's got one planned today or if they ever have one. Do you have anything planned today, Mr. McGuire?
If I did, do you think I'm going to share it now?
No, I just
ask me tomorrow.
You look like a guy, though, that would plot and plan and would love to sit by and watch something just happen.
I enjoy all aspects of a good prank,
yeah.
But it's got to be a good prank,
right?
A fun-natured prank.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Frustration is allowed, but, you know, no one goes to the hospital.
No one goes to the hospital. Feelers could get hurt, but, you know, other than that, no body parts.
And right? I think the person you wanted to ask is your offspring, Clint.
Yes. Although they do pranks every day, so I don't know that he would have anything special for
today.
None
of them are ever funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're just annoying.
Annoying.
And that's what he thrives on.
He thrives.
And not annoying people.
He thrives on annoying people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how do you describe me to him? Do you say, your father does these things that is just very annoying, since you refer to me as... He's my offspring. I have to feel like that. There's probably some similar thoughts that are
probably the word "daddy" is used.
I don't think he probably.
Yeah,
appreciates
I mean, we
it.
All love Clint, but yeah. He is a big fan of the annoying,
mm-hmm.
you know, prank.
Yeah,
just to mess with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, they're almost never funny.
Gotcha. I don't necessarily feel the same love that Clint gets, but I mean, it's probably bring that on myself.
Play the music, Jeff.
Nah, that's okay. That's all right. That's okay.
Well, Chuck, we live in a portion of the building over here all together,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so there's, you know, there's a tight-knit community there.
Okay.
Okay, on this corner of the building, and... you know, you chose to be away from us. So,
you had me placed on the other side of the building. You had experienced enough of me at the other place.
That was not my doing.
Let's see here.
We just tried to find the biggest office for you, the largest one.
Not really. I'll bet the other Kansan has some April Fool's stuff dialed
yes.
up for today.
Yes.
Okay. Have to say, Jamie, enjoyed your reaction to the UCF warning track power on Thursday night. Only game I heard. Thought I'd never hear you say, did you say pimp on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Did you? I missed that on Thursday. Okay. All right. Basketball. Red Raiders in the transfer portal. Pop Isaacs and Robert Jennings. Your reaction to both. One, you're probably not surprised about Pop because you had pretty much... You had kind of speculated on that.
I predicted that he would be gone ever
yeah.
since his, whether you want to call him legal troubles, whatever. Ever since the trip to the, where did they go, Bahamas?
Bahamas, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I suspected that would be the case. Not surprised at all. Didn't feel like he was a good fit for Coach McCaslin's style of play, offense/defense whole thing. So I expected him to be gone.
Yeah, and you thought when we talked about this last week after he had said, or 2 weeks ago when he'd said that he was coming back, you had said, well, let's kind of wait on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you think really it's more about his style of play and the style of play that Coach McCaslin wants more than anything else, don't you?
I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't think he fits the offense. Mm-hmm. I would guess that Coach McCaslin agrees, okay? But I have no idea. I mean, Coach McCaslin may have thought that, mm-hmm. but Pop Isaacs walked in and said, hey, Coach, I'm leaving. I'm hitting the portal. And so I have no idea how this transpired, okay? Yeah. I wouldn't guess that it's about money. Yeah. Some people have suggested
that. I don't think it's about money either.
I wouldn't guess that, but I have no idea. I have no idea. So I'm not surprised by it. I don't know who is the one that initiated it. I don't know if it was, you know, both sides saying, hey, let's part ways. It's better for both of us. I have no idea. I really have no clue. I just didn't think he was a good fit. And so I think that Grant McCaslin and his staff probably looked at it and said the same thing.
Yeah.
But again, that doesn't mean that they told them they wanted him to leave. They may have said, oh, we're going to have to try to fix him. I don't know. Okay. Now, as far as Robert Jennings goes, my guess is Robert Jennings is a guy who wants to play more and realizes he's not going to ever be the starting four or five for this team mm-hmm. in a Power Five conference. That's my guess. I think I love Robert Jennings' energy and just effort off the bench. I think he's a great backup big. Okay. I love it. Just loved his passion and energy. And again, there was excitement and I wish he was better shooting layups and all the above. But I was a big fan. Okay. And I guess my guess is that he wants to go somewhere where he can play more. But maybe Coach McCaslin and company said, hey, we're gonna recruit over your head here, so you need to go somewhere else. I don't have the answers. I don't know.
And maybe he didn't want to be, you know, the guy coming off the bench, yeah. like you said, in one of the more PT. I have to think that if Coach McCaslin wanted Pop Isaacs to be here, he would be here because of the money that's involved and the amenities and the Big 12 and the showcasing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's going to be really interesting to see where he lands.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just my take on that. And then with regard to some that are concerned about, you know, people coming in and players coming in, well, I think we learned last year that they're going to be really quiet on who comes in. I mean, I'm sure that you'll hear some announcements about guys that are going to transfer in, but I mean, they kept it pretty tight, you know, last year because we were trying to still figure out the final roster up until literally the start of school.
Felt like it was for a while there, and then you added Joe Toussaint really, really late. So, you know, you just kind of have to sit back and wait.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.